Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. I'm brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. We're less than a week away from the NBA season tipping off. I'll give you my thoughts on the Lakers shellacking of the Warriors last night. We got Thursday night football tonight on Big Fox. Big Fox. That'll be a good one as the Broncos, who suddenly won a couple of games, hosting their rival from the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to them in a second. And we also have Major League Baseball from the stadium. Yesterday's game was canceled due to postponed due to weather. So the Yankees trying to get back in this series, down 2-1 at the stadium. And, you know, would be four, I think, in 7 days, right? 4 games in 7 days. But they would fall down 3-1 if they lost tonight. So we got a lot to get to. Brian Billick will join us. Jason Lockenfora will join us. RJ Bell will join us as well. We got a great show. Excellent show. Yesterday we had a couple athletes on. Terry McLaurin Jr. was our guest. I thought that was my, was that our favorite interview? Probably. Yeah. Obviously from the Washington Redskins. He was great. Talking about racing his old man out in the street when he's 13 years old and to officially become the fastest member of his family. And then his dad acted like he pulled a hamstring. That's great. Somebody tell Vito, if that's not a rejoin, I don't know what is. Anyway, I like Pat Mahomes. And if your argument is, did the Bears make a mistake drafting Mitch Trubisky ahead of Pat Mahomes? The answer is, yeah. I remember last year I was driving to do my show on Friday before the first game of the year. And one of the guys in the meeting room with the Chargers called me and he's like, you're not going to believe what you see Sunday. I go, what do you mean? Like, you guys are good. He's like, oh, we feel really good about who we are. But he's like, Mahomes is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I'm friendly with several members of the front office. They wanted to draft Pat Mahomes. Obviously, he wasn't there. They didn't trade up. And they thought about it. Several teams did. And they decided, obviously, to go a different way. And that different way, they ended up being Forrest Lamp, who's now starting for them in the offensive line, but got hurt. I believe that was their first-round draft pick that year. But they were further down the draft. Anyway, the point was, everyone in the league knew this guy was a freak in terms of arm talent. Now, there were some things he had to clear up in terms of stories when he was at Texas Tech, missing meetings, you know, footwork not being great at times, not taking care of the football. You know, they got so many possessions, so many opportunities that there at times wasn't the precision that even his talent would dictate. And he went to the perfect situation. He went to Andy Reid, who's a quarterback whisperer. They built an offensive staff that worked with him, and he learned from Alex Smith, who was kind of the opposite of how he played in college, right? Alex Smith was efficient to the point of almost being embarrassing in terms of the number of checkdowns. Remember, they went what felt like a year without a wide receiver catching a touchdown. That was when Alex Smith was the quarterback. Some of it was Dwayne Bowe was their best wide receiver. Some of it was Alex Smith just wouldn't throw the ball deep downfield. And ultimately that limited them. And much like San Francisco got rid of him to get Kaepernick, Kansas City got rid of him so they could free up space for Pat Mahomes to play. And he was the MVP of the league, and he's not as good as advertised. He's better. Because he has grown into being a leader. Because his arm and his footwork's now better. He takes care of the ball better, although he still takes chances. This was Broncos head coach Vic Fangio talking about Pat Mahomes before tonight's game.
You know, I think he's, you know, like John Elway was in the 80s and 90s. He's that guy. Like Aaron Rodgers has been for the last 12, 14 years, however many years he's been starting. He's kind of that guy. He's the great passer, the great improviser, plays with a lot of athletic arrogance, which is a compliment.
Athletic arrogance, meaning I can do anything. I throw the ball anywhere and do anything I want to do. He's got swagger. He's got, I think, leadership. He's got arm talent. He can move his feet. He can do it all. But it's important to point out that Elway, he didn't luck his way into two early Super Bowls, but they shouldn't have been in those two early Super Bowls. The reason they were annihilated in those two early Super Bowls is the reason I have great concern over Pat Mahomes' ability to even get there. First, he does play for Andy Reid, who, look, Andy Reid is a great football coach. He's not good. He's great. He got to, what was it, five out of six division NFC championship games and won Super Bowl when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he did so with Donovan McNabb and a couple other quarterbacks. With, you know, 1 year he had Kevin Cobb, right? He did it with Mike Vick. He did it. I mean, Donovan McNabb was not a great quarterback. A great name, a good player. They won a lot of games, but especially in this NFL, wildly inaccurate. And they won at times in spite of, not because of McNabb. But the reason they were able to get to those NFC Championship games and ultimately into the Super Bowl is the same reason that I think we can predict some gloom and doom from these Kansas City Chiefs. The defense was a problem last year, and you know what? It hasn't gotten much better this year. Michael Lombardi, who sometimes joins the show, the former NFL GM, he has an expression. The best way to play defense is to play less defense. Right? Did you know that the Chiefs are last in time per drive on the defensive side of the football? They're last in plays per drive and 26 in points per drive. But the first two are most important. When they're on defense for a longer period of time than anyone else in the National Football League. And there are more plays run against them than anyone else in the National Football League. And that not only exhausts your defense, that also makes your offense have to play from behind. Your offense gets less opportunities. It shortens the game. Whereas if you have better talent, you want to lengthen the game. You want to lengthen the game. Like the reason the Princeton style of offense, the Princeton style of basketball, right? I mean, in truth, before the shot clock, they wanted to hold the basketball. They wanted to shorten the game. Then they wanted to play a zone so that you had to hold the ball. Fewer possessions expose fewer weaknesses. That's why Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens last year were able to win a playoff game. That's the Chicago Bears kind of working philosophy, which is their defense is their strength. Shorten the game. Fewer possessions for their offense and allows their defense to be on the field less time. Look, the Chiefs' defense is ninth in turnover margin. That's a massive upgrade. Eighth in red zone touchdowns. That's an upgrade. They're 17th in third down conversion, which is better than it was last year. But man, they got to get off the football field. Got to get off the field. Compound that with the fact that they don't have a running game. They used to have the league's leading rusher. He got in trouble. Video came out. He's now in Cleveland. They haven't been able to fix it. They got a slew of running backs, and none have been able to take the torch and been a guy that you can count on to put up triple digits. They don't run it. They're on the field too long. The best way to play defense is to play less defense, and they're playing more, not less defense. So in spite of the fact that we'd all agree Pat Mahomes is crazy, crazy talented. He can make throws that we haven't seen anyone make. He's a little banged up. So too is our wide receiving core. But more than anything, the last six Super Bowl champions have all had a top 10 defense. Five out of the last six Super Bowl champions were top 10 in both defense and offense. The lone exception was Peyton Manning and the Broncos. The Broncos were led by their defense, not Peyton Manning. This offense was terrible. And this is not a good defense. And what happened to John Elway when he would get to those Super Bowls was, it was basically the Peter Principle for teams. You guys know what the Peter Principle is? It's when, and this is more in, it's from like a business school. The Peter Principle is when you're advanced beyond your level of competency, right? I mean, basically it's Ryan Music, right? Like Ryan Music, nice guy, good looking, you know, answers the phone. He can do Microsoft Word. But when I ask him to produce a radio show, I'm kidding. Peter Principle is when you're advanced beyond your level of competency. And when the Broncos would get to the Super Bowl, Ernest Byner should have taken the Browns to a Super Bowl, but he fumbled at the 1 foot line. The year before that, before the drive, the Browns were the better team. John Elway made the Broncos appear to be better than they were, and the ultimate litmus test was Super Bowl, and they were completely eviscerated. Because he didn't have the defense, because he didn't have the running game. And when John Elway ultimately won a Super Bowl, I don't know if you guys know this, when John Elway won his first Super Bowl, did you know he had the lowest quarterback rating in the history of the Super Bowl for a winning quarterback? You know why? Because he handed the ball off to Terrell Davis. Because he had a nasty defense. Don't get me wrong, you do need a quarterback to bail you out for that last second drive. For regular season games. But to win big, you got to stay off the football. You got to keep your defense off the football field. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to have a top 10 defense. Otherwise, I mean, based upon history, you're doomed from the start. And that's how the Kansas City Chiefs appear. You'd think they're better, but when you're last in time per drive, last in plays per drive, 26 in points per drive on the defensive side of the football, you're actually worse.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike Irvin said, quote, "We're hurting right now. We're hurting in the worst places. In the worst places, you see it. A good coach is going to be able to attack our weaknesses. First of all, Philly had no answer for Amari Cooper last week. Now Amari Cooper is likely not going to be playing. I don't see any trade out there now that will get us over the top, unless you want to go pick up Antonio Brown until Amari Cooper gets back. I don't care where we find help. I don't care what kind of media relations come in with it or public relations nightmare come with it. Wins can cure some of those things. Maybe we should just go pick him up for a week or two. I don't know what to do here, but I'm telling you, I am worried about the Eagles game right now." Dez Bryant's available. Right? And I will grant you that Antonio Brown is healthier and better than Dez Bryant. And Dez Bryant has had his own issues in the past, but those issues would not lead him to be in the commissioner's exempt list. I would guess this is the idea. Michael Irvin, I mean, this is kind of just brainstorming. Let me just throw out an idea here for you. What if, right? What if we go and get Antonio Brown? Like, oh, he can really play. Like, yeah, no, not happening. But I think that, and this is, we all do this in life. We look at problems and we try and find solutions based upon our own personal perspective. Right? Don't we? Like from our own, and in his perspective, from his perspective, from Antonio Brown's perspective, he's got to be sitting there thinking, Michael Irvin's perspective. Hey, man, I was doing coke, sleeping with hookers, and we were winning Super Bowls. Antonio Brown's got issues, but they pale in comparison to mine, and we found a way to make it work. I love the idea of, well, this would be a PR thing. Like, no, it's not just PR. Like, this dude has gotten himself run out of his last two places. The Raiders gave him a ton of leash between what helmet he's going to wear and burning his feet and how he fit in. And then he played one game with the Patriots. Again, it's at Barnes. It's one of those like, hey, there's no bad answers. Let's just throw some ideas up there. And he's like, hey, how about Antonio Brown? Maybe. It's not the worst idea in the world. Let's keep it on the board, guys. Let's go around the room. Let's try and find some other guys. It's not the worst because they have been able to function with dysfunctional guys. They have been able to acquire guys with baggage. But the last, what was the name? What's the defensive lineman? Now he's a Greg Hardy. Remember Greg Hardy? Right, like the Greg Hardy thing, that's got to sit there and go like, nah, Greg Hardy thing didn't work. We're not doing it. Not doing it. We already have Zeke who is like one misstep away from getting suspended again. Now we can't do it. But in brainstorming, it is not the worst idea in the world.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Jason LaCanfora, CBS's NFL insider, he joins us. And Jason, what's the league saying, your source inside the league saying about the Rams' acquisition of Jalen Ramsey?
Well, I mean, look, they're an aggressive organization. It's not out of character for them to any degree when you look at what they've done to try to build that team, whether, you know, it was bringing in a guy like Sammy Watkins or making some of the trades they've made in the past, like when they initially brought in Marcus Peters. They're all in. So it's not out of character, and the price is steep, but I reported 2 weeks ago that there were two ones on the table for Jalen Ramsey. Now, that those ones with the team that offered him might have been lower than where the Rams are, considering, you know, the Rams have an uphill climb in their own division. But I guess the question people are asking does it get to
right.
the heart of what might actually put them over the top? And yes, they need two shutdown corners. Now, I guess when Talib comes back, maybe they have it. But for Wade to do what Wade wants to do, you can't be negligent at the corner position or the whole thing falls apart. So the thinking now is he can get more aggressive and they can get more creative because you've got, you know, we'll see if one of their young corners steps up, one of their draft picks, but you've got a shutdown guy who can eliminate half the field at least. I just have concerns about the offensive line. I have concerns about the ability to run the ball, and I have concerns about their ability to win in a shootout if the quarterback has to throw 50-plus times to do it, and I don't know that Jalen Ramsey addresses that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then in terms of any sort of long-term future, like, well, you got Aaron Donald top of the market, Todd Gurley top of the market, Jared Goff top of the market, Brandon Cooks top of the market, Jalen Ramsey will require top of the market. Like,
they've got, right now, with Ramsey currently set to count 13 against the cap on the option, which we know they'll do a new deal before that, but what that means for next year's cap, I don't know, but they've got 55% of their cap in five guys next year. I mean, that's the reality, and if they don't win in the next couple of years and Aaron Donald's 2 years older and you're at a point with Jared Goff where maybe you don't want to keep kicking the can down the curb and trading in, you know, let's lower the cap number and extend the deal and push it down. You know what I mean? If he's not a $150 million guy and Aaron Donald is no longer transformational and he's on the other side of 30 and you've had no draft picks for so long, no high draft picks for so long, your margin of error gets really slim on every transaction you make. And I think the world of Sean McVay, and I think he can cover up a lot of warts and all that, but they're no longer in a window where Gurley's making peanuts and Goff is making peanuts, you know, and Donald's making peanuts, and you've got the luxury of you know, throwing some different things, throwing darts all over the place and seeing what stick. That's not going to be their reality.
The Dallas Cowboys got their two bookend offensive tackles back at practice. but still no Amari Cooper. Michael Irvin said, hey, why not give Antonio Brown a call? Likelihood that happens.
Look, I've learned to never say never in this league. I don't think the Amari Cooper injury is going to be long-term, but he's not, I don't think he's playing this week, and maybe it's another, you know, maybe it's a little bit after that. You never know with Jerry. That would be, my goodness, would that be interesting. I think they better worry about shoring up their defense, too. I don't know that they're a player away, although Jerry often tends to think they were. And the fact that they got a lot of run from Cooper last year when they made that trade, which a lot of people were poo-pooing in real time, myself included, maybe that emboldens them some to try something, you know, bold like that again. I wouldn't be shocked if somebody rolled the dice on Antonio Brown at some point, whether that's Jerry Jones or somebody else.
Huh. All right, let's get to the Cleveland Browns. How do they go about fixing their season?
Well, in their perfect world, they trade for Trent Williams and move some people around their offensive line and, you know, self-scout and figure out some tendencies and some things that aren't working and try to get back to the tempo and the quick stuff that worked so well for that offense last year when they won five of their last seven. But it takes two to tango, as John Dorsey himself said, and the Redskins are being stubborn to a fault. I mean, it's beyond a fault. I mean, it's stubborn to the point of, you know, if you're a Redskins fan, you got to be nauseous at what's going on there. I'm a big U.S. soccer supporter, and I mean, that must be what, like, you know, supporting the U.S. men's national team, like what that feels like to me, that must be what Redskins fans are looking at. Like, this thing is so rotten at the core. Why am I even showing up? Why am I even watching? But, yeah, they want to make moves. John Dorsey's not done. Will that cure all that ails them? I don't know. I mean, I think the defense has been good. They played a tough schedule. They're probably going to be 2-5. They're coming out of the bye facing New England's not going to be easy. But then look at the rest of the way. And look at the fact that 8-8 might get it done in that division. Go look at Baltimore's schedule. They're not going to run away and hide. I think people in Cleveland need to just relax a little bit. Like, let's see. Cleveland's at a point where I thought they would beat the bad teams and start competing with the good teams. Well, I think they can beat the bad teams. The contending with the good teams thing, maybe not, but the reality is there's no great team in their division. So I think people need to let this gel and coalesce a little bit, and yes, Dorsey is going to try to throw another piece or two in there, but the second half, let's see if they get better. I think they will.
You think they will? Let's see. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. San Francisco Niners for real? I mean, it feels like they're for real.
Yeah.
They have a dynamic athletic front to their defense. It feels like they're the real deal, isn't that it?
Yeah, I mean, look, they have one of the best run schemes in the league. You know, that Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel, you can take that all the way back, you know, to when Alex Gibbs is installing it for Mike Shanahan decades ago. That stuff works, and they're super creative with it, and they can gash you. Garoppolo just has to manage games now. Nobody cares about how much they paid him. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to. Just don't lose the game. You know what I mean? Manage it. Don't right. turn it over. Make the play when it's there, which is different from when they traded for him and people thought he'd have to be a savior. And the defense, they get pressure. I don't even want to say they get pressure, but four. Half the time it looks like they can just play around with whoever they want to drop back in coverage and beat your five with their best three. That's an incredible luxury to have. I do think they're for real. I also think that it's still a tough division. And I think Seattle's for real. And as much as I still don't think the Rams are a playoff team, but the Rams can play with anybody on any given day. And Arizona's offense is becoming more intriguing by the week. So, you know, I'm interested to see when they get in the heart of their division schedule what it looks like. But they're a very good team with a vastly better roster than the one that was there when they got there. And that's another team that I would – look, they made the Garoppolo trade. They were in on Odell Beckham. They were in on Khalil Mack. They made the D4 trade. This is going – I've been saying it for weeks. This is going to be a real trade deadline, and they're going to be a part of it. Whether it's a blockbuster or not takes two to tango, but I expect San Francisco to make a move or two.
Okay, so who are – outside of Trent Williams, who are the other players that will have a new jersey coming up?
I mean, there are people very interested in Patrick Peterson. Will the Cardinals relent? I don't know. They didn't a year ago. He's a year, you know, he's a year older. Now he only has 1 year left on his contract. And that's a team playing for the long haul who've whiffed on a lot of draft picks lately and could use some extra draft capital. You know, Trent Williams, again, we mentioned, also Ryan Kerrigan with the Redskins. A lot of contending teams are interested in him. Denver, I think Denver's going to win tonight, and if they do, then they're going to pull all their cards off the table. But if they don't and they lose another game after that, then you could be looking at a situation where, you know, all the teams that were calling them early in the season keep calling, and that's you know, Chris Harris, that's Emmanuel Sanders, that's Derek Wolf, and then the Bengals. They're saying they're not going to trade, but, like, come on, they're feuding with Cordy Glenn. They're a complete mess. They have no offensive line. They can't win a game with all the talent, the individual talent they have there, at least in some instances, like Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap. What are you ever going to win with them? You might go 0-16 with them. Tyler Eifert's finally healthy on a one-year deal. Let him go somewhere and play football games that matter. If they did the right thing, they'd have as much draft capital as Miami. They're telling people no, but let's see where Mike Brown is 2 weeks from now. Maybe he's ready to save $20 million and load up on draft picks for the future because he might be picking first overall.
All right, we have mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs. They've lost the last two, both at home. They're on the road tonight, and it's been other teams' ability to run the football. Yep. Their inability to run it as well has been, and they've had some offensive line issues, and Mahomes has got the ankle issue. Are they considering making some deals?
Absolutely. They know the defense isn't good enough, but they were in on Minka Fitzpatrick. They were in on Jalen Ramsey. I would suspect that anybody, you come up with a name, it's probably an upgrade on their secondary, and they need pass rush too, and they need guys who can set the edge. They need it all. The problem is I don't think they're going to be able to fix all that between, you know, now and 12 days from now. But yes, they're going to be proactive. They are looking to make moves. I think they're vulnerable right now, though. I think they're in a bad spot. The offensive line is beat up.
Yep.
This is a short week for Mahomes. That ankle's been flaring up about three of the last 4 weeks. You can see it on the film in games when he's tethered to the pocket and he becomes more vulnerable. And they can't play with a lead anymore because the defense has found a way to be worse than last year. And then they got the Packers and the Vikings coming up. So this can be a very interesting period of time for them here. And I think they're in a little bit of trouble. I think the Oakland Raiders, a very real chance the Oakland Raiders in first place in that division come Sunday night.
Crazy, right? Considering last year this time everybody was making
fun. It was over, yeah.
Everybody's making fun of the Oakland Raiders, and John Gruden doesn't know what he's doing. And look at Khalil Mack and look at what a joke the Raiders are. Just amazing how quickly that's from. We hadn't mentioned the Chargers, who they do get Russell Okung back, who's back at practice today, yeah, from the blood clots, but they're a mess.
Yeah, they are, but they're also right there. I mean, if the Chiefs are in them, and with the Chiefs, it's not just the last 2 weeks. I mean, remember that Detroit game? They got the snot kicked out of them. They needed a 101-yard fumble return to win that one. And the week before, they had Baltimore dead to rights at halftime and ended up being a close game at the end. The time of possession is killing them. The other team running for, you know, 7 yards a carry and 190 yards a game the last 4 weeks is killing them. I don't know that they reverse that all of a sudden. And if they don't, then I think the Chargers could lick their wounds a little bit and you know, be right back in this thing. But they got to do it. And I don't know what particularly they do very well these days either. It's just a weird situation there. But they're not who I thought they'd be, and it's starting to get late.
Yeah, no, they don't tackle well. They're such a disciplined team, Alice. They don't tackle well at all. Jason Lockham for us, CBS Sports NFL Insider. JLC, great stuff, dude. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a good one.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Cleveland Browns are tied with the Atlanta Falcons for the most penalties in the NFL. That feels like a lack of discipline, doesn't it? They've given up a 506 penalty yards, most in the NFL. Here's John Dorsey, their GM, when he was asked if the constant media spotlight is causing the problems.
I don't. I think there's got to be a degree of consistency. There's got to be a degree of attention to detail. And I think that's natural. Everybody's going to say that. These guys work really hard. The coaching staff works really hard at preparing these guys. And, you know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take attention to those little details moving this thing forward.
Attention to details. Here's what he's seen from Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie was hired for a reason. That was to lead men. And I think in the trust that those men have in Freddie. And then also for his offensive play calling experience. And I think he's actually put together some really nice game plans. And, you know, I applaud him for that. I love where he is right now in terms of, you know, that first year head coaching label you all try to stick on him. I think he's done a nice job.
He's alone on that one, right? It's not that there hasn't been some well-called games. It's just there's a lack of consistency there. And I do think that Dorsey's putting issues up, you know, put some of it on the offensive line. He's talking about men. What that translates into is like, hey, this guy's drawn up good game plans. Men aren't doing their job. I mean, the offensive line and Baker Mayfield probably, right? But there's quite obvious lack of discipline. Last year, he was substitute teacher, and they're like, yeah, substitute teacher. Let's hire the substitute teacher. Like, now he's the full-time teacher, and the team lacks discipline. Not one time was the word discipline uttered by John Dorsey. Not once. Not a single time did he go, hey, you know, he's got to hold them. We didn't hear the word accountable. He said to lead, but not, he didn't say to hold them accountable. These words do matter. We need our coaches to hold our players more accountable. We need a little bit more discipline. All right? We want them to play hard. We want them to play right on the edge of what is and what, like, holding. You want to hold but not get called for it, right? You want to pass interfere but not get called for it. We want you to play on the edge of what, but this the most penalized team in the NFL, that's got to go. That's for the birds. And this is the hard part with learning on the job, learning who you want to be. Baker Mayfield's learning on the job, learning who he wants to be. Then everybody thought, hey, you know, he's like, it's fantasy football. Landry Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., bunch of running backs. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Baker Mayfield, Daniel Njoku. You know, Njoku's hurt, and he's barely played football before he got to the NFL. You know, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., no one's ever questioned their talent, but their ability to be stewards of quality character and leadership has been called into question. And now when things are going bad, that's when your character is tested the most. You know, some of this is on John Dorsey. But he wouldn't hold himself accountable. We knew that. I like what I've seen. I like where he is as a play caller. You're alone. Everyone else is like, dude, why aren't they running the football early in the season? Why aren't they running the football more? Why are they just letting him drop back there and cover zero? Why do they keep forcing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.?